Show. Oh. Is it best show time? Are we live?
We're live.
Oh, look at that. That's Martine. That's not Pat. I love it.
What's up, Tom?
New voice in the mix. How are you, Martine?
I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that, and I'm happy that you are there. And I want to welcome all of you listening right now to the best show. And my name's Tom Sharpling, and I'm the host of the best show, and I've been doing this each and every week since 1975. And I remember the first episode we did, we were preempted because Squeaky Frome tried to assassinate Gerald Ford during the show, and it was a little bit of a mess, but we got through it, and we've seen all the things. We've seen them come and go. We got a Tricky Dick. Remember when Tricky Dick was driving us nuts? Ay, 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 with Tricky Dick. He was so tricky. And then Ford, that buffoon, and he was always falling all over the place. Remember that? And then Peanut Man came in next. Can't even remember his name. And then old Ronnie got in there. Ay, 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 with him. With the hair and the, well, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. And then, not gonna do it. He got in next. Dana Carvey was our next president, and that was exciting. And then old, Slick Willie next, and he was something. He was a handful, huh? Old Slick Willie. What was he all about? And then George Bush's brother got in, George W. Bush, and we all know what the W stood for was, winner, because he was a winner. He won that election, by the largest margin anyone's ever won an election by. I think that the other fella, Jason Gore got, not many votes that year. And then of course, Obama showed up, and he was something else. And that was a day. And then, I remember one time he showed up and he was wearing a light colored suit. And I was like, this is a travesty for the presidency. Can you believe that a president would wear a light colored suit? And it was the worst day in American history. The day he showed up in that light colored suit. I never saw anything as unpresidential as that. But thankfully, a more distinguished, president came in afterwards. President Toilet came in, and he brought some much needed class back to the White House with his, installed he basically got scores to show up and redecorate the White House. It was exciting. And, Bo Deedle was around, and that was a fun time. And then now we've got this other fella, biting, cause his dog was biting everybody. His major biting is the president now, cause his dog did some major biting of anybody that came into the White House. And who will be the next president? Stay tuned. Word has it President Toilet's trying to get his hands back on the nuclear football, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think the next president is going to be someone that we don't even think wants to be president. Someone like Bruce Dern. President Dern. Wouldn't that be great? President Dern, 47. President Dern. He could be in the White House, and then he'll campaign on the King of Marvin Gardens ticket, where he reminds us of the movies he did back then, like King of Marvin Gardens and all the rest of them. And that is your U.S. history lesson. And now it is time to start, without further ado, the show you came to hear, the best show.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, best show. What's up, everybody? I'm Sharpling here with you on this Tuesday night in what now? That's right, July of 2021. And how are you tonight? I'm good. I hope you're good. The phone number, as always, 201-332-3484. That's the number. You want to get in on the action and party down with me and the crew? You and three contests. You and three friends. We'll get to party down with the best show crew. Can you imagine what contest from hell would that be? Right?
Sounds fun.
Sounds fun. There you go.
The party with the people.
Party with the best show crew. Michael, bring his Kirkland lights. Kirkland lights in fully infused with the aluminum now. So that amazing metallic taste, that stuff that liquids in cans get after too long.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad beer.
Yeah. What would you say, Mike, if money was no object, what is a beer you would like to, what's a beer you like?
Money, no object. I'm not into I'm not into these IPAs. I mean, these are the big fancy beers now. Mm-hmm. Young people like it. You get really drunk really fast. I think that's what they like about it. Which, you know, I understand that. I did that when I was young too. But, they're very filling.
Like, I remember my first IPA.
Have you tried one? Have you ever tried one?
No, I don't. I can't do that.
Nah. Stuff. No. They're heavy. You know, the Indian Pale Ale was the big one, you know, early on. Mm-hmm. I'd have two of those and I'd feel like I had to lay down. You know, it's like you just had a Thanksgiving dinner.
I mean, yeah, in a can. Thanksgiving dinner in a can.
Yes. Yeah, it's like I don't get it. And I've tried some of them because, you know, I sold all these beers and it became popular. And I wanted to, you know, at least give them a try, see what the deal is. And they're good. You know, I'm not saying they taste bad.
But I'll say, okay, so you hate the IPAs.
Yeah.
They're not for you.
No.
Money's no object. What is it then? Are you still going with the classic? You going with the Coors Light?
Yeah, I go with the classic. Right. You know, it goes down smooth. You know, I can drink a few of them and not get drunk. I'm not out to get drunk. I'm just out to, you know, socialize.
Sure.
Get that golden glow going.
Pat, you don't like beer, right? You're not a drinker.
Pat's a pizza man. Pat's getting the pizza.
Pat likes pizza. Pat's a pizza.
Oh, wow.
Man.
The old tradition is back.
Yeah. Look at that.
We
Mike.
Haven't had it in a while, but now I'm back. We got
in the studio. The
I'm
going to
drive up.
Studio.
Only take me an hour. Can I drive up?
Yeah. Why not? Mike, we have more than
pizza.
Enough pie.
Uh-oh. Well, I know what kind of pizza he's getting, too.
We did get the good stuff. So
good. Pat, you got the good stuff.
The upside down pizza.
Yeah. It's good. And Martine helping out tonight. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. So, yeah. Pat, you don't like beer. That's not your deal, right?
Was that beer, you're saying?
Yeah.
No, not my deal at all. But, I mean, if people want that, you know, that's fine with me.
All right. All right. Martine, what do you like? What do you like, a hot day? What do you like, Martine?
Beer.
Pizza.
I do love pizza.
Pizza, like pizza on a hot day instead of a beverage.
Sweat it out.
Get that cheese coming out of your pores.
Yeah, exactly.
Nah, I got you.
I used to. Beer used to be my favorite thing of the day. And then I hit a certain age, and if I have a beer, I'm away for 3 days straight.
Oh, look at that.
So if money were no object, I would have the surgery to fix that.
Okay. Well, if money were no object, you'd actually go get a medical procedure to alter your intake.
I like that. That's the determination.
Yeah.
I like a good cold seltzer.
Pat likes a good cold seltzer. I got you, Pat. Pat, you and I are closer.
Or an iced tea.
An iced tea. Likes an iced tea. I like that. Now, what's the topic tonight, Pat? What's the topic?
Well, last week we were talking about a book that you wrote.
Yeah, a book called It Never Ends, published by Abrams. It's in stores now, available. You check it out over TomWroteABook.com. We got excerpts. Vulture put an excerpt up a few days ago. Rolling Stone put an excerpt up. Look at that. We're getting everywhere. We got, it's getting around.
Well deserved. Tonight, we're asking the question, what's the title of everyone else's biography?
Yes, mine is It Never Ends, of course, in stores now. Oh, I said that already. Yeah, I want to hear your titles, your memoir titles, your biography, your autobiography titles. And so you call 201-3-323-484 and you tell us what yours is. And we have, cause you know what it came down to with this? At one point I thought I would call this book, We Get It, They Don't. At one point, I thought that would be the title for the book. And I was like, I don't know about that. Then another thing I was calling the book for a good stretch of time was My Strudel. And it was called My Strudel.
Good title. I like it.
And then, lo and behold, right before we go to press, I find out, and I'm not accusing him of anything, I look over to apmike.bandcamp.com. Lo and behold, he's got something called My Strudel over there. Apparently it's his Tommy. It's his Operation Mind Crime. It's his Terrapin Station, his concept album over there.
Yeah.
And it's a spoken word piece where he captures the patois of the working person. And lets them tell their story. He gets the lingo. He's kind of like it's AP Mike in Jimmy Breslin mode, getting the the story, the down and dirty city.
Okay.
Except the city's Bayonne. Mike is the Breslin of Bayonne.
As we
call him. Jimmy Breslin had New York locked down. Did you know, Mike, that Jimmy Breslin was William Friedkin's first choice to play Popeye Doyle in French Connection?
Really? Okay.
Yes. And he couldn't act. So I think that's why he didn't.
Was he going to make him lose weight too? I could see him, putting him on a strict diet.
I could see back though. Well, yeah, he would have needed to run up those stairs to shoot that guy in the back.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What a fun portrayal of law enforcement that was, where everybody's cheering the cop just running around with a gun shooting people at will. That maybe not aging as well as
does have the one good line though. It's used a couple times.
What line's that?
Did you ever pick your toes in Poughkeepsie?
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's a good line.
Yeah. Good line. And then he drives a car recklessly. And, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, where they say, okay, you got a bad lieutenant. Where's the good lieutenant? They say, why not a movie called Good Lieutenant to balance out the bad lieutenant? And to that I say, P. Shaw, you go make your – you want to see Good Lieutenant, you go make it. Right now we got one lieutenant in the cinematic world, and that's a bad lieutenant. And – no, but that is not a portrayal that exactly, I don't know if people are exactly going to be cheering the way they were at one point, watching a cop just mow people down, like Dirty Harry. Imagine a movie called Dirty Harry came out, and that'd be a horror film. You'd put the name, Maniac Cop was a movie, and that would be Dirty Harry, Maniac Cop. Dirty Harry. Eastwood. Can you imagine those movies he makes now? Richard Jewell. Yeah, they're just all they're like the one where he had the baby, the American Sniper, where it's like a plastic baby in the thing. production values ain't ain't job number one on these Clint Eastwood movies. And just wrap a doll in a blanket. That'll be good enough for the baby in the movie. I want to get out of here. And they're like, oh, you work for Clint Eastwood the whole year out. Everybody, he works with the same people for 30 years and you're out of there by 4 p.m. Boy, oh boy, that's how great things are made, huh? When you get out early from work, you get the duck out a little early. That's all the greats have always said. That's how their things got made. Well, I got out early. I remember one episode of Monk where there was this director came in and everybody was like, oh my goodness, this thing's shooting so fast and this director is just getting everybody out so quickly for the day. And then the episode was terrible. It was awful. There was no footage. It was like a bad episode. Sometimes you gotta put in the time. What did we hear? We heard Mudhoney with Let It Slide from their album Piece of Cake. We talked about them last week, so I played a little bit of them this week. Can't go wrong with Mudhoney. Best band. The best band. And tonight, how do you name your memoir? What do you name your memoir? You call up. Pat, do we have any calls? Is anybody called?
Full phones.
Full phones. Look at that. Full phones. And tonight we have Dudio is in on assignment.
He's on assignment, all right.
We got Dudio on assignment. We got Pat Byrne. We got Martine here in Dudio's stead, and then we have AP Mike, or as I call him, 8 out of 10.
I'm getting a lot of abuse for that, you know.
But, oh, no, I'll say this though. You said that. I've had more people come up to me and go, that was my favorite part of the show when he said 8 out of 10. When it was like, what score do you give Tom's book? And Mike goes, yeah, 8 out of 10. It's no Flaubert.
I'm a straight shooter. What can I say? You know?
Mike, am I saying anything? I'm telling you what the people
were in support. You want me to blow smoke up your ass, Tom?
Mike, people were in support.
I can do that.
Mike, people were in support of it.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm not arguing with it. I'm just saying, It's an interesting thing to watch different people have different reactions to it. Some people are like, you know what? That was the best part of the whole show when Mike said that. Because they're like, Pat's saying
13 out of 10. I don't know if I agree with that, but I mean, it's.
They're saying, Pat's saying 13 out of 10, Dudio saying 16 out of 10.
Yeah.
And Mike comes in with a.
I said 12 out of 10.
12 out of 10. And Mike comes in with a stone cold dose of reality. He drops an 8 out of 10 on you and goes, yeah, you're not Flaubert.
What did Pitchfork give you? I saw there's a Pitchfork review. Did they give you 8.3 or, you know?
No, they just said it's great. Mike, okay. They just said it's right. Great.
No decimal point in the reading?
No decimal points on books. They don't do that over there with books. 8 out. No, I'm not. Look, Mike, I was into it. I get it. You think I don't know? I know I'm no Flaubert.
I gave you 4 out of 5 on Goodreads.
That's good. 4 out of 5. Well,
I gave Vineland 4 out of 5.
And Vineland, that's the master wrote that.
Master, yeah.
The master.
Just to give you some comparison, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I put, you know, there's some good big names in the 4 out of 5 stars on Goodreads.
Yeah. You'd think, look, Mike. 4 out of 5, that's a gift. It's a gift.
I took some abuse over there, too. It's like 4 out of 5, you know?
All they want to see is they know, Mike, they just want to see what happens. 8 out of 10, I'm all for it. I'll take it. 8 out of 10, you're a harsh taskmaster. I'll take it. I'll say this, people straight up told me, again, this is our favorite part of the whole thing. And I have to just, I salute that. I salute it. So, yeah, so I'm doing all this book stuff. I just did a thing with John Hodgman. Did one with John Worster. last night. Nathan Fielder, Julie Klausner, Jake Fogelnest. So much fun. I'll figure out where all those things live and we'll consolidate them one way or another so that they will be, accessible. We'll get all that together. And in the meantime, let's go to the phones. Give me a call, please. Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Jason from Buffalo. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Jason from Buffalo. Yeah. What's up, Jason?
First, just wanted to tell you that the book is incredible.
Oh, thank you.
It is
thank
not you. What I expected, but it surpassed everything.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And that leads me to wanting to talk to you about coin pushers. You had your problem, and I have also had my problem. Back a couple years ago, I was in a touring band, and every day we'd get our buyouts, and without fail, I almost always, like I said, it has failed sometimes, but I would blow it all at rest stops on coin pushers.
So you'd go to a rest stop and play a coin pusher. This is the part I don't understand. What were the potential winnings at a rest stop?
You would actually win more quarters. And sometimes there would be like $100 bills like wrapped up in there.
Oh, so it's just straight up gambling then?
Straight up gambling. I of course never won more than 50 cents. But that didn't stop me from dropping hundreds of dollars into those machines and then not really being able to eat on tour.
Yeah, it's not the way to do it.
Definitely not. It lasted a couple weeks and then I got it under control and have not played one since. But your story brought up some memories.
Yes, because I tell the story of me getting hooked on coin pushers over the course of a summer.
Correct.
Which one of the chapters that, not to keep bringing it back to this, one of the chapters that AP Mike would have vetoed if he was the editor of my book. He, did not enjoy it.
I had
a lot of interactions with machines. I would have said, well, we've got other arcade, stories here.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the chapter though. I don't
know. Tom versus the machines.
Yeah, it's me, my John Henry. I was John Henry versus the coin pusher.
That sounds like the title for your next book.
My next book. Yeah, sure. Next book. Could you imagine?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, you already have your story of unqualified triumph to start it off with, which is this book.
You're sweet to say that. You're so sweet to
Thank
say
you
that.
Very much. I also had a title for my biography.
What would be the title of your biography?
Mine would be All of This and Nothing, but Mostly Nothing.
Would but mostly nothing be in parentheses?
Yeah, very, very small so that everyone thinks it's a very exciting book. And then they buy it and see that it is, you know, essentially a book of my non-existent tweets.
A book of your non-existent tweets? Because look, I could barf out another one real fast. Rip everybody off. That's not going to happen. You see your kid, if you see your guy putting a book out again, you know he worked hard on it. I ain't going to sleepwalk through it.
I can imagine.
So.
Tom doesn't have.
All this, say it again.
All of this and nothing. But mostly nothing. It's a play on the Psychedelic First Grits Hits album, which is All of This and Nothing.
So you're hoping to loop in a few Psychedelic First fans.
Yeah.
This book doesn't have anything about Psychedelic Furs in it. Unless you would put stuff in it. It's a
Richard Butler.
Love my way. Get him in there.
Yeah.
Well, all right, sweetheart. I'm going to put that. Right. That's a good one.
Thank you, Tom. You have a good night.
Don't coin push it. No more coin pushing for you.
I'm off of it. Don't worry.
Have a grand evening. Next call, best show. Best show, hi. Who do we got here tonight? Best show, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. This is Mike in Minneapolis.
Mike in Minneapolis. I like the way this one's starting. Minneapolis. Oh. That's a cool city. Who's the best band from Minneapolis? And remember, I said band from Minneapolis. Or who now?
Rifle Sport.
Interesting. Rifle Sport, eh?
I honestly don't know if I've ever even heard of Rifle Sport. I was just trying to go obscure.
Okay. Who would be honest, though? Who would you say it is? Royal Crescent Mob?
Let's see.
Husker Du.
I feel like I'm thinking too hard. Let's say Halo of Flies.
Halo Flies, interesting choice.
Yeah.
Best Halo Flies cover? We all know it, right?
The actual cover of the release?
No, their interpretation of a song.
Oh gosh. I should probably know this.
How does it feel to feel by a Creation?
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike.
I'm sorry, I'm slipping.
You're slipping. Now, to what do
Mr.
I have
the pleasure of saying? Mr. Hazelmeyer would be disappointed with me.
Yeah, he'd throw you in a vat, turn you into some green vinyl, and only press 300 of you.
I'd be in a Melvin's release.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a rare Melvin's record.
And then I could get flipped on eBay.
Yes. So what do you got for me?
Well, I had one for the topic. It sounds slightly suggestive initially, but there's a reason for it.
Okay.
It would be Screw City.
Okay, now why would your book be called Screw City?
So my hometown of Rockford, Illinois, is known as the fastener capital of the world because they make fasteners, but the more sort of pejorative name would be Screw City.
Mm-hmm. And so you would tell the story of Rockford, Illinois in your book.
Well, that, you know, my humble beginnings in Rockford and how the rest of my life would just sort of be this giant screw job, you know, me climbing above the, you know, the circumstances and, you know, eventually being rising triumphant above the fray.
Sure. No, I like this. This sounds like a real Rocky story. No pun intended. Now, this is an easy question for you. Who's the best band from Rockford, Illinois?
Pisces.
Pisces?
No, I suppose I'm supposed to say Cheap Trick.
You're supposed to say Cheap Trick.
I do give Cheap Trick credit because they always claimed Rockford. They never claimed Chicago or anything. And those guys... You would see him in town. I guess I never saw Robin Zander, but you would see Rick Nielsen and Buddy Carlos just around town, and I've always respected them for that.
That'd be so cool. If I ever went and saw them, if I saw Buddy Carlos eating a sandwich, I'd come up behind him. You know what I'd say? All right, Tokyo! Right behind him. I'd scare him. He'd be like, ooh.
Can I share a dumb Rick Nielsen story with you?
Please.
So shortly after I moved to Minneapolis in the late 90s, Cheap Trick was doing a run of shows at First Avenue, and I was working at a newsstand in downtown Minneapolis, and I'd gone on my break and walked around the corner, and I was coming back to work, and I saw up ahead Rick Nielsen was talking to some folks on the street. And And so I'm kind of walking along, and I was still, I don't know, fairly punked out, I guess, in the late 90s. And so I'm walking down the block, and Rick Nielsen lifted me, and I said, this is dumb, but he did a double take, and he left the, like, fan who was talking to him, and he came over to me, and I said, I'm from Rockford, and he's like, no less, man, and he, like, shook my hand, and and so I got recognized by Rick Nielsen.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
Because he was just, you know, they were just dudes around town. So, and I know he would pop into, you know, shows and stuff occasionally. And so, yeah, it was just funny to be recognized by the rock star.
If I ran into Rick Nielsen on the street, you know what I'd go up behind him. You know what I'd do? I'd go, sleeping with an angel. Walking with a monster. No, I wouldn't do that. just think about Cheap Trick, how inspirational they are. They did it. They hit it. Then they kind of settled in. They got back again. They had The Flame, was a number one hit, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of just settled into this thing where we're doing this for life. It's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. And then they did that tour. Like, you know, they went out with like Guided by Voices at one point. And, you know, whenever like bands would come through town and play the Metro Center at Rockford, you know, like they all, it's kind of like being here in Minneapolis where everybody has to acknowledge Prince. Like when people would come through and play at Rockford, they always had to acknowledge Cheap Trick, you know?
Yeah. You got to do it. You got to pay your respects.
Yeah.
I tip my hat to you, Cheap Trick. You did it. You kept doing it. And you are eternally great, Cheap Trick. We all salute you on the best flame. Show. All right. Anything? What do you got for me? Anything tonight?
Can I share a quick reverie that I had while reading the book?
Yes, please.
So you're talking about the whole Howard Stern thing, which I think you've shared before, so I don't think I'm spoiling anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, I'm a couple weeks behind on the show, but I was listening to the How Much Money Would It Take episode, and the woman called in who, she was pregnant, and she was like past due. And so it just made me think, because there's the dumb scene in Private Parts where he stimulates the woman with the speaker or whatever.
Oh, dumb.
And I was just thinking that you could...
Isn't that like so embarrassing in a way?
Yeah. And he was so proud of that moment, he had to recreate it for the movie.
For the movie, yeah. Great.
But I was thinking, you know, unfortunately it's probably past now, but, you could have given sort of one of your like inspirational Rocky speeches to the in-wombed baby to sort of like encourage, you know, they could put the headphones on her. Tell me.
Look, you put that in Screw City. Keep it out of my face. Okay. Hang up on this guy. Hang up on him. He's making me nauseous. Pat, we got other calls?
We got the full phones. All the classic lines are full.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5?
Yeah, the whole phone bank full.
Give me 5. How about that?
You got it.
Best show, hello. Wow, what is this? Hello?
Hold on, let me turn down my transistor radio, okay. There we go.
Turning down your transistor radio? That's a transistor radio?
Yeah, I love when you can just turn on the radio and they're playing the Rocky theme on the radio.
Now that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I outfitted my transistor radio with some pretty solid subwoofers.
Okay.
Yeah. They really kick it out.
Why would you bother doing that to a transistor radio? I know who this is. This is Philly Boy Roy.
Oh, good memory!
Yeah, yeah. It's at this point, Roy, not that hard to figure out it's you when I hear the Rocky music.
Okay. That's fair enough. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes?
Is your phone blowing up like mine is?
No. Why?
Mine's been ringing off the hook since last Tuesday. I guess you wrote a book or a pamphlet called I'm Over. Is that right?
No, it's a book. It's not called I'm Over.
What's it called?
A full-length book. It's called It Never Ends.
Okay. Well, look, I didn't read it because, as you know, the last book I started was Allen Iverson's Talking About Practice, but I bailed because the words Philadelphia and Wooder Ice didn't appear within the first two sentences. You know, a book's got to be pretty special for me to devote my time to.
Sure. No, that makes perfect sense. I wouldn't expect any less.
Yeah. Well, apparently you wrote about me calling into your show, which I honestly don't remember ever doing before.
You don't remember calling this show?
No. Have I ever called before tonight?
Roy, you've called the show so many times.
Okay. Well, you know, memories is getting fuzzy after all these years.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, it seems I've inspired a huge amount of excitement with a lot of the entertainment industry's power brokers.
Really? Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I've been talking with everyone. Judd Apatow, Wes Anderson, Michael Bay, Jerry Bruckheimer, the Safdie brothers, Ron Howard, Shonda Rhimes, Jason Walliner, this Canadian woman with a deep voice named Lauren Michaels. I'll tell you, you want the heat index, just look at my phone.
Why are you getting all these calls?
Because they're into me. They read about me in your book, and they're fascinated. Also, this guy named Jack Antonoff called. He wants to make a record with me.
Really?
Yeah, but I told him to call back when he's Kenny Aronoff.
Well, he might never call back because I think he's Jack Antonoff.
Oh, no, I think I might have blown that one then because I really want to make a record.
Yeah, I think you might have blown that one. Jack Antonoff is not going to become... Kenny Aronoff is a drummer?
Oh, my God. You run a rock and roll radio show and you don't know who Kenny Aronoff is?
He was the guy in John Cougar Mellencamp's band, right? John Mellencamp's band?
Yeah, but most importantly, he played on Brian Setzer's The Night Feels Like Justice.
Okay, he's the guy who looked like the cop in Death Wish 3.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was cast for that. He got the role initially, but he couldn't do it because he had a tour coming up.
Sure, so he got Ed Lauder was the actor they eventually gave the role to. But Kenny Aronoff had that look, that kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
That tough, bald guy look.
I've seen his screen test, and it's superior to what ended up on that screen.
Well, I can't. I find that hard to believe that somebody would turn in something superior to the final product of Death Wish 3. But I'll take your word for it.
You know, his screen test. He was the guy that goes. About the gun. I think you know the line. I'd love to hear you say the line.
It's not working. Kill the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That guy, yeah. Now, he, Yeah, that's Ed Lauder did not say that line. That was, but he was the one running around the cop who was trying to bust Charles Bronson.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, speaking of film, you know, these people want to do flicks with me. Here's the bad news, and it's why your phone ain't being explosive.
Yeah.
I asked all them people if you could be involved in my projects, because I know you write good, but they all say you can't be involved because you offended the one person who pulls all the showbiz strings.
Who? Who's that?
Well, apparently in your book you refer to him as Mr. Morris.
My former shop teacher?
Your disgraced former shop teacher.
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, it turns out after he left your school in disgrace, he cleaned up, moved to L.A., and became the biggest behind-the-scenes player in Weirdowood since one of them guys with names like, I don't know, Louis Cohen or Samuel Goldbrick. He goes by the name The Woodworker now, and nothing gets made out there without his approval.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Tom, I don't know if you know this, but he's the reason Jeff the Demon, Flying V, Superheroes, Rock School, and the Stepford Girlfriends was put into turnaround faster than you could say. They wouldn't let me into the Palm because I was wearing jorts.
Oh, God. Oh, no, I blew it.
Well, here's some good news, though, okay?
Okay.
I'd be willing to hire you to write scripts for me, but it's got to be under a different name, obviously.
Okay.
All right, and I already picked out the name, and it's non-negotiable.
Okay. What is the name that you will, since you're so white hot now in show business, that you will hire me to write on? What is the name?
F. Blob Belcher.
Wait, F. Blob Belcher.
Yes.
So it's implying that there's a Blob Belcher out there that I needed to put an initial so I could differentiate myself from just Blob Belcher.
That's right. Like Bradley Whitford had to call himself Bradley because of the guitar player in Aerosmith.
Wait, was that an issue? They thought that Brad Whitford was going to be in the West Wing?
Well, Brad Whitford could be making flicks. Who knows? He might be in the Directors Guild for all we know.
Oh, that's true. F. Blob Belcher. What kind of money are we talking about, Roy?
Well, that's what I was getting to next. I want to warn you, it's going to be a lot of work, and you're really going to be earning your
8%. 8%.
Yeah.
And I do all the writing?
Oh, yeah. Or more.
I don't know what that means, but that sounds even worse.
Well, you know, it's something to think about, okay?
Okay. I don't like this. I don't like the, you know, they say they don't like the bones of a thing when people say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the bones of this deal.
Well, you mull it over, okay? I got to get ready to go out. Steven Spielberg's flying into Yingling and Hoagie Me into the wee hours tonight. He wants to make E.T. with me as the monster.
Well, E.T. was not a monster.
Sure he was. He had that light-up finger that was so disgusting.
It was disgusting, actually. When you take a step back, that finger was pretty disgusting.
Where was he putting that thing?
I don't want to think about that.
Well, look, Spielberg also has another very exciting thing he wants to talk to me about starring in.
Yeah, what's that?
He bought the rights to a project called My Strudel, and it sounds like it's going to be huge.
Oh, no. Yeah, great. getting passed by again. Feeling it happen again, Roy.
All you got to do is sign on, F. Blob Belcher.
How long do I have to think about this?
How about you ring me, I don't know, 2 a.m.? By 2 a.m. I'll be pretty hammered by that point.
Okay.
Okay.
That the name thing is non-negotiable?
Non-negotiable. Maybe we could change the first initial to maybe Y.
Why? That's worse.
So your name sounds like a question.
Yeah, why Blob Belcher? What would be the worst initial I could go with? Z?
V-Bob, I think Y might be it.
Y might be the worst one, yeah. Okay.
But there hasn't been a famous Y since Y.A. Tittle.
That's true. Well, maybe if I sign on as F. Blob Belcher, we can work on the Y.A. Tittle story.
That sounds great.
Any chance you'd be interested in playing Y.A. Tittle?
No, you know who could play that because he looked just like him? Kenny Aronoff.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Roy, I'm going to give it some thought.
Okay. Spielberg's copter's landing on top of my row house as we speak, okay? So I got a boogie.
Okay. Thank you, Roy.
All right. Party on.
Okay. Well, F. Blob Belcher, I don't know. That sounds slightly defeated. Had any calls?
Still full phones.
Throw me a call for who's been on the longest, please. Best Show, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Simon from Ontario, Canada.
Simon, what's up, Simon?
Oh, not too much. I got some decent weather out here.
Have you and I argued before?
Yeah, about a month ago. We argued about pizza, and then it went on to something else I don't remember, and then it went back to pizza. It was a whole thing.
And you now know you're wrong, though, right?
I have come to accept that we will disagree on this forever and ever, and I'm okay with that. I've made peace with it.
Fair enough. You know what you should not make peace with is a piece of that awful Toronto pizza. Don't make peace with that piece.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah.
So, what can I do for you tonight, Simon?
Well, first off, I wanted to say, you did it, yes, OB. I bought your book. It was great.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you. You know what, Simon? You're all right in my book, literally in my book.
Although, I am only in Chapter 9, so I'm savoring this.
Oh, good. You take your time with it, Simon.
Yeah, like a good cigar or fine wine.
Do you smoke cigars?
No, I drink a lot of wine, though.
Okay. Like, I wouldn't even know how to... Could you imagine? I could not imagine being that good at smoking a cigar where I'd be just like, yeah, this is a good cigar. Like, I just could never picture myself getting there.
Yeah, I feel like once it starts to build up a residue in your lungs, then you start to be able to really identify the flavors.
The flavors? The whole thing, like, when there are, like, flavors in a cigar, it's like, if you're looking to get flavors, there's better places to get flavors. I'll go get you a roll of Lifesavers, for the fruit-flavored Lifesavers. I'll get you a roll of those. You get better flavors for the, and you're not going to have smoke in your lungs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like I said, I'm more of a wine guy. I'm going to school to learn how to make wine, so that's my whole thing.
You are.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll say this. Last month you showed me you were pretty good at wine when you were whining all about that pizza.
Oh, boy. You got me.
Yeah.
You got me.
What do you got for me, my friend?
Yeah, so biographies. I mean, if we're going realistically, my biography is probably just going to be like a typewritten manifesto of some sort. I don't think I'm ever going to get published.
Well, what would you call this manifesto? What would you call it? Threat to society?
I don't know.
What? What do you call it? Threat to society?
Something like that, yeah. I'm not sure you'd have a title. It's just 1,000 pages of small font.
Ah, that's troubling. No title. That's the most troubling thing I've ever heard.
It's just, they go into the cabin. On the desk, there's just a typewriter, and it's about 1,000 sheets of paper. The top one is blank.
Well, what cabin, Eagle? Where's your cabin? Guelph?
I used to go to school in Guelph.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an alright town. No, this would be like up in Tobermory or something, somewhere real, real remote.
Why didn't John Spencer ever have a thing where he's like, Guelph style! Like a song about Guelph would be so cool. Be like, dun da dun da dun da dun da dun. John Spencer Blues was dun da dun da dun da dun. Guelph. Like I could picture him like singing about Guelph. Oh, Guelph.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe someday John Spencer will write a song about Guelph. Would be a good thing for him to yell out. I'd love to hear that. So your thing would just be a terrifying. Terrifying manifesto, a low-level to mid-level threat.
Yeah, expressing my general anger and ill content towards society.
Fair enough.
No,
fair enough, Simon.
I think if I do get published, again, I'm pretty young, so my life could take many different trajectories, you know?
What do you think would take longer, for you to write 1,000 words or for you to eat one of your Canadian pizza pies, your Toronto pizza pies?
I could do it at the same time.
Yeah, you could.
Type with one hand, eat with the other, and I'll have the trash can between my knees that I vomit into.
There you go. Say this, you talk about U.S. pizza, we never talk about vomiting. That's not a part of the equation. Up there, you kind of got to talk about vomiting when it comes to...
I'm not eating too much because it's so good.
Yeah, that's what always does it to you. You know when you eat too much and you vomit?
Yeah.
Is that really a threat? Is that really a threat? You're doing something wrong with food. Oh, I ate so much of that good food. I'm going to vomit now. Simon, you're doing it wrong.
You ever do that thing where like you eat so much that you get acid reflux and your brain is like, is this hunger?
No.
No?
Come on.
You haven't eaten, my friend?
Well, I'm going to say maybe you haven't eaten. All right, my friend. Thank you for your nice words about the book.
Yep. Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, why not?
All right. When's the Mass's Tavern closing?
Well, we talked about it already. We had a long conversation about it on the show tonight.
Rip. I must have missed that part. I do have one other question.
You what?
I have one other question. I would like to buy a Best Show t-shirt.
They ain't for sale right now. Soon. We'll get them for sale again.
I think you should run a show where people just call in and give their merch suggestions or submit designs.
Nah, I'm going to pass on that idea.
Aw.
Thanks, Simon.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. You too. Bye. Good guy. Oh, you know my name is Simon, and I like to do drawings. Remember that? Who doesn't remember that great SNL skit? And I want to say this. This Tim Robinson show, I think you should leave. Season 2 of this dropped last week, same day my book came out. A crowning achievement. Some are saying the greatest day in comedy history. I say this. I watched season one of this thing. I loved it. I loved it to death. You know what? Season two, right there. Matches season one, maybe exceeds it. I don't know. It's great though. There's some performances and some sketches in this new season of I Think You Should Leave that I could not even handle how funny they were. So I says to Mr. Tim Robinson and his crew of wackadoodles, great job. Mission accomplished. You got them. Next call, please. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Catfish in Ridgewood, Queens.
Catfish in Ridgewood, Queens. What's up tonight, Catfish?
I'm doing well, doing well. I finished the book yesterday.
Oh, good, good. And, did you enjoy it?
Loved it, loved it. I've been a listener for a real long time.
Thank you, Catfish. What do you give it? On a scale of 1 to 10, 8?
I'm going to give it a 9.9.
9.9. See, that's what APY could have done. He's like, I'm not going to give you 16 out of 10. It could have thrown like 9.6. Could have just been like, yeah, it's not perfect, but it's way up there, 9.6. 9.3. Now he's got to be, give me an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I grew up in Point Pleasant and Seaside Heights, so
a lot brought back a lot of memories, eh?
Spoke to me, some things that I forgot about.
Ironically, you grew up down there, but you know you can't, if you go in the ocean, you know what you can't get?
What's that?
Catfish.
That's true.
You ain't going to get no catfish in the ocean. You are, the only way you get a catfish in the ocean is when somebody starts shoving you and then their buddy gets behind you and gets on their hands and knees and you fall over into the ocean. Then you got a catfish in the ocean.
There you go.
What are the pleasure of this call, Catfish?
Well, you know, I just wanted to congratulate you on the book. I started, because of a lack of material, now delving into my strudel. It's an interesting endeavor, but, you know.
Look, my strudel, I'm hearing things. I'm hearing people say it gets a 7 out of 10, my strudel. That's what I give my strudel. 7.9 out of 10.
So far where I'm at in my strudel, I would give it about 7 out of 10.
Well, you're a straight shooter, Catfish.
Yeah. I wanted to give you an anecdote that reading the book, you know, there's a lot of things that rang home, but there was one day that you and I crossed paths in Manhattan.
And I had Catfish? We crossed paths?
We crossed paths, yeah.
How'd that go? Tell me about that, Catfish.
I work in a film production, post-production facility. And you were doing something there.
Okay.
And I had just starstruck moment.
You got what was I doing, an edit or something?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe some voiceovers.
What did we do? Did we have a nice conversation?
No. No, I went to say something and froze. Solid. Starstruck.
But I was not bad to you, Catfish, was
no,
I?
No, no. Nothing like that. But I just couldn't think of anything to say. It was just one of those moments.
You tightened up, did you, Catfish?
Yeah.
Well, Catfish, next time we cross paths, please don't. Please take the leap, Catfish.
You got it.
All right. Thanks for the call, my friend.
Thanks.
Nice guy, Catfish. Salt of the earth. Ironically, though, you don't want to put salt on a catfish. It'll shrivel up. Get sick. How's that pizza treating you guys over there? Pat and Martine loading up on some old pizza pie. How's that working for you?
It's good. It brought me back
to the old days of pizza pies.
Where are the wings, Pat?
Yeah, we didn't cross that road tonight.
You didn't go to the wings, the moment of wings.
We opted
didn't
out.
Happen there. You go look. If you guys want to get wings, you get wings. You want to get ice cream, go get ice cream. You want to get gelato, go get some gelato. Now, what is the difference, Pat? You know things. What is the difference between ice cream and gelato?
As far as I can tell, one's Italian, one's not. I don't know the difference.
Is one more whipped?
Probably. A little creamier. I would guess gelato.
Yeah, they spend a little more time whipping that gelato. You got any more calls?
Your choice.
I'm saying my choice means your choice. Give me any, whatever one you want, Pat.
What is the difference?
Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. This is John in Chicago.
Who is this now?
This is John in Chicago.
John? In Chicago. What part of Chicago are you in, John?
Logan Square.
Ah, Logan Square. I don't know what that means.
It's become kind of one of those kind of hipster bastions of Chicago.
Okay.
Not why I'm here.
Who hangs out at Logan Square?
There's actually a little bar and restaurant on my corner. It's just kind of tucked away in my neighborhood. And I drove by and, I think his name is Max, the guitar player from Whitney. And the Smith Westerns was standing outside.
All right. Who did you see hanging outside?
The Max from Whitney and Smith Westerns.
Okay, that's what I missed. The second part of what you said.
Yeah.
Where, if I was like a cool Sammy Skolmoski type, where would I be hanging out?
I feel like I've lost touch since COVID, but I think, yeah, I'm spacing out. I guess they do indie shows at a DIY space that I haven't been to. And they have like the name is written in tape or something, I think, on the outside.
Okay. Sounds like I'm not going to find this place.
No,
I'm looking for a place
really
with tape. A place really where the name of the place is written in tape.
Right, but it's like, it's a DIY thing, but it's written in tape, like really big.
I ain't
so going to
worry.
Like
we're not going to worry about it. We're not going to worry about it. What do you got for me tonight, my friend?
Well, I wanted to actually say I finished the book a couple days ago, and it's my second favorite book of all time.
Oh, my goodness. Can you believe that? You know, they don't say that about Flaubert. I don't hear anybody saying Flaubert wrote their second favorite book. Flaubert. Flow B. I'd rather read about a Flow B or Flow Max than Flow Bear. If Spike was still here, he'd say, I was reading Flow Max and he would put Flow Bear in their place. What's Flow Bear's first name? Gustav? No idea there?
Oh, no, I don't know much about literature.
That's all right. Don't worry. Well, please, I'm going to say this. Please don't say that my book's your second favorite book you've ever read and then say, well, I don't know anything about literature. Not doing me any favors with that. Come on. Help me. I say I read every book there is.
I'm sorry.
Say I read all of them. I read Flaubert. Say I read this. Let's just, we'll cut this out of the show, but just say this. I've read every Flaubert there is to read. And yours is the better than any of Flaubert's stuff. Say that instead.
Okay. Tom, I've read everything that Flaubert's ever done, and your stuff is better than any of his stuff.
Say Flaubert couldn't carry your jock.
Flaubert couldn't carry your jock.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
What's his favorite book?
The Bible.
Okay.
There you go. Thank you.
All right.
So his favorite book's a Bible.
I thought he was going to say Art of the Deal.
Yeah. Put you in your place. Mike, you just got shut down.
That was better. The Bible.
You're always bragging about how Flaubert's so witty. You just got put in your place by John from Chicago.
Tom, I'll tell you this. I gave you more stars than the Bible on Goodreads. I gave the Bible 3 stars, and I gave you 4 stars.
Well,
for what that's worth.
Yeah. For what it's worth. Okay. Me, Flaubert, and the Bible. Who wrote the Bible again? Who gets credit for writing the Bible? Who's it? It says the Bible by who? What does it say?
G-O-D. G-O-D.
G-O-D.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's divinely inspired, Tom.
Oh, that's what some people are saying about my book, okay, Mike. Look, I'm not one to disabuse people of their notion. Some say that it's that when they write a thing like this, that I was just watching it happen. Oh, it's like the hand of God was reaching in me and moving these things around, and I was just a spectator to this greatness. That's not what happened with me. It's hard work, down and dirty grit. You'd think I was from Rockford, Illinois, the way I was writing this thing, down and dirty. I didn't have the advantages that a Flaubert gets in life. Where'd Flaubert go? Harvard?
He's a frog, Tom.
Well, don't say that, Mike. That's not nice. Well, but I got no time for this stuff. This egghead business. Flaubert. Those books are probably not even in color. They're probably black and white. Right? That old stuff? These old black and white books?
Mm-hmm.
I got no cotton for that.
I thought it was truck.
A little bit of both. John, anything else?
Yeah. My biography title, it would be Waiting for Gelato, My Life in Between Cones.
And now tell me then, since you would call your book Waiting for Gelato.
Yeah.
What's the difference between gelato and ice cream? Because look, I'm a slob. I'll eat all of it. I'll eat it like a dog. I don't even realize. I just bolt it down. I'm not even sure what flavor ice cream is half the time I eat it. I only know when I look in the empty cup and I see that it was, if I see pink in there, I'm like, I guess I just ate some strawberry. But what's the difference between gelato and standard ice cream?
There's less cream and more milk in gelato, and typically no egg yolks in gelato.
How does that, and does that make it better?
Badder or better?
Better.
Better, yeah. Yeah.
You like it, you like gelato more than ice cream?
I don't like, having to, pit things like custard and ice cream and gelato against one another. I think they're all
custard.
Great. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where are you getting your hands on custard? Are you hanging at this old folks' home?
What's next?
Really rice pudding. You gonna bring up pudding next?
I mean, I do like rice pudding, but it, I mean, frozen custard. It's like sausage ice cream. It's fairly close to soft serve ice cream. Is soft serve ice cream old people food?
It can be, but not exclusively. Old timers love their rice pudding. They love their Werther's candy and their rice pudding.
I was just going to say I'm actually a fan of Werther's myself. So
yeah, it's butterscotch. Everybody's a fan of Werther's, but old people, it's not the first thing you choose. Everybody likes ending up with some Werther's. Old people choose Werther's over Snickers bars. You put a Snickers bar on the table and a Werther's, these fossils are going to grab the Werther's 10 times out of 10.
That's bad.
If there was nothing left, I'll grab some Werther's. I'm not going to leave it there. Butterscotch is solid flavors. But you know what the best butterscotch is at? And I've talked about it. I haven't talked about this in a million years. Lifesavers. Butterscotch Lifesavers. They still make them?
I've never seen them. They're good?
Mike, you like a butterscotch Lifesaver?
I don't think I've ever had them.
Mm. Okay. Pat, Martine, butterscotch Lifesavers?
Never in my life.
Is that something that was in the UFO report?
What?
Oh, listen, no. I never heard of that.
No, it's not in the U. I can't be alone on this butterscotch Lifesavers. You go over with your grandpappy. Uh-huh. He gets out some butterscotch Lifesavers. It's Werther's to go. That's what you call them. Butterscotch Lifesavers are like Werther's to go. Pineapple Lifesavers, pretty good. Butterscotch Lifesaver might be the top.
They had their own pack? It wasn't mixed like the regular Lifesavers? It wasn't mixed?
They have variety packs, little variety tube.
Uh-huh.
And then they got ones that, for the fans of just butterscotch, you get the whole thing of it. I don't know if can you get the pineapple as a standalone flavor? That's pretty awesome. I got
something
to
do a quick check next time I go there.
I got
to
do some Lifesavers research now. Anybody out there a Lifesavers fan? Where's the Michelle or the Oreo head of Lifesavers with the Lifesavers news? Well, my friend from Chicago, thank you so much for the call.
You know, I was doing a bit with the Bible thing, right? With the Trump bit.
No, I understood that completely. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
The Bible.
My second
favorite book is Art of the Deal. My favorite book, the Bible. I don't remember when he was asked in that interview. It's like, so what's your favorite part of the Bible? He's like, I like God. I don't have a favorite part. Can you imagine? You don't have, you can't, guy couldn't even drum up a thing. Somebody asked me, what's my favorite part of the Bible? I go, Adam and Eve. I don't know.
Good.
I never read the Bible.
Jesus Christ.
I'm a Jesus fan. The parts with Jesus. My favorite parts. I like Adam and Eve, Moses, Jesus. All of them.
I like
Ezekiel.
Job. Job's a good guy.
Like you cannot even be able to fumble your way through an answer for your favorite part of the Bible. Yeah, I like Moses. All the stuff with Moses is very powerful. Like, not that hard.
Yeah.
Donald Trump grew up in the tri-state area. You tell me he didn't sit around on Christmas watching the Ten Commandments on TV?
Well, that would have been funny if he said Charlton Heston.
Or what if he's like, my favorite part of the Bible is when Charlton Heston shows up. Or if he started saying his favorite, he gets...
It's
10 Commandments mixed up with It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, which is the other movie that we showed. The favorite part is when Buddy Hackett gets in the plane, is flying around. His favorite part of the Bible, when Sid Caesar stuck in the basement with the fireworks.
Jonathan Winters wrecks the garage.
Those are his favorite parts of the Bible. Mr. Trump, what's your favorite part of the Bible? I have many favorite parts of the Bible, like when the big W, when they figure out that it's palm trees, and they that when the three stooges show up as firemen in a cameo at the end. They would show that movie at Christmas. It would be on TV every Christmas. And that and Ten Commandments. All right. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Tom. Hey, we do have time. Can I ask you a very quick question?
Of course you can.
I have my very first improv class. I'm starting improv. And just if you had any tips for me for tomorrow.
This is what you do. My improv advice to you. You shake them off. You shake them off. You go for it. It's you versus everyone. Yes and is a false construct. You go in there and you grab it. And if somebody tries to tap you out or walk in front of you, you say, get your hands off me. You say, I'm doing a character right now. You serve my character. Get your hands off me. And then just make like you got... Make it you got some, like you're smashing pies in their face. You know what I mean? Like just make it like you got invisible pies. Go, I just smashed a pie in your face. What are you going to do? You can't even talk because you got too much pie in your mouth that I smashed in your face. Now let me do my skit. And also write some stuff. Go up with some pre-written things and try to pretend that you made them up in the moment.
Awesome.
That's my improv advice to you. It's you versus everyone. Yes and is a false construct. And go for it because this is your chance to get super famous.
And the pie.
And the invisible pies. And also do invisible... just do a thing like you go like, I just put your lips zipped shut now. I just turned your lips into zips, and I zipped them shut. You can't talk. Now get your effing hands off me. That's what I would say. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
You have a great night.
You too.
What are they called? Now, some people are posting things. They're called butter rum, not butterscotch. These lifesavers. I got a feeling these things are not still these things are still not being manufactured based on the packaging on some of these, butter rum things. Looks like, they got a retro futurism. Looks like they're from, Clockwork Orange or something. I don't know. Let's do it. Pat, next call, please. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey,
I think you just said this. I'm sorry, this is Matt from Los Angeles. How are you?
Matt from Los Angeles. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, they were butter rum, not butterscotch, and it led me to think of those chocolate candies with, like, the shot inside of it that were wrapped in foil that you would get at Christmas. Do you recall those?
Hold on, what are those?
So... The lifesavers were butter rum. So introducing children to rum at an early age. And then there was this whole series of like candies that would frequently be gifted around the holidays that were wrapped in foil. It was like a chocolate bottle and inside of the hollow shell of the chocolate was some sort of shot of alcohol.
I don't remember that. Why don't I remember that? Oh, no. I got to say, find a picture, please, and send it to me.
Will do. I'll tweet it to you.
What you got for me?
Well, number one, you did it. I know everyone's saying it, but you did it. Congrats.
Okay, so you did it, SOB. You did it.
Yeah, I read it all the way through, and I listened to it all the way through, and you did it. So congrats, and thank you.
Thank you. You're quite welcome. I appreciate your kind words. And of course, you're talking about my book. It Never Ends, in stores now, tomrodabook.com. Now, let me say this before you go. Before you go on, let me say one more thing. I see everybody that not from the U.S. who's mad they didn't get no book plate for pre-ordering the thing. I'm going to figure it out, okay? I'm going to figure it out. It's probably going to mean some old elbow grease from Tom figuring that thing out. But what else is new, right? What else is new? A little bit of elbow grease, going to be back. I got a feeling I'm going to be packing some things and mailing them out. You know what? So be it. But just hang tight. Hang tight, my international friends. We'll try to figure something out.
I'm pretty sure we're neighbors, so if you want any help, I'm happy to volunteer.
Don't say that.
It's only just based on what you've talked about and West Hollywood.
You're scaring me now. You're scaring me. Are you looking at me right now?
No, I'm sorry. I'll stop being creepy, but I love that Sammy Skolmoski appears in the first paragraph of your book, and she's a very close friend of mine and someone that is brilliant and funny, and I love that she made it in there.
Funniest people going, Sammy Skolmoski.
Clearly, this guy didn't read the dead fish part of the book.
Thank you.
What?
Never mind.
No, don't worry. Pat's just giving you the business. Pat's giving you the business. Look, I'll say this. You and I, we agree about one thing. Sammy Skolmoski is awesome, and the book wouldn't be what it was if I did not get Sammy's help. And I will be eternally grateful to Sammy for the work. And I'll say this. One of the funniest people going, writing all over the place. Pick the click for 2022, Sammy Skolmoski.
It's your version of the XXL countdown.
What?
XXL, it's hip-hop magazine. They always have a bunch of rappers that you should be looking out for next year.
Yes. Well, you look out for Sammy as one of the rappers, the comedians to look out for.
Yeah. The thing that hit me most about the book was just how good some of the sentences were. And there's one that hit me in particular, which was...
Are they Flaubert level? Are they the level of Flaubert?
Haven't read it.
Wouldn't know. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I went to the bookstore to finally check out this Flaubert. And they said, yeah, Flaubert's back there. And you know what it was? It was in the men's room. It was on the floor of the men's room, and the sign said Flaubert. Like this was the Flaubert section.
Behind saloon doors, hopefully.
Well, no, Barnes & Noble doesn't have no saloon doors.
What they do
have are the world's most disgusting bathrooms. I want to congratulate the Barnes & Noble chain on truly, truly the grossest bathrooms that if there's a Delta variant, there's probably going to be a Barnes & Noble variant at some point. A Barnes & Noble strain created by out-of-control paper towel dispensers that, for some reason, are positioned 3 inches above a very high garbage can so that, and weird thing, they choose not to empty their garbage, apparently, or they do it once every, when Halley's Comet goes by. That's when the people at Barnes & Noble's empty those bathroom garbage cans. So then the automatic paper towel dispenser goes, and it goes down, immediately touching the dirty, discarded paper towels ripped off by previous bathroom attendees, not attendants. They don't have no bathroom attendant at a Barnes & Noble's. Tighten it up, Barnes & Noble's. Tighten it up. That's coming from an author. An author has finally spoken up. One of your own.
Can I tell you, like, my favorite sentence from the book?
Please, please do.
And I'm paraphrasing again, but it was something to the effect of you were kind of scanning the purchases you were going to make at the record store like a busted gambler at the track. Been there.
Thank you. Yes.
Very relatable. The first time I ever had enough money to buy CDs, I made some unfortunate choices. And so I feel you.
What's the first CD you ever bought?
I bought four because I had an unexpected additional amount of money from buying a CD player, which at the time was like $120. And it was at...
Let me see if I can guess. Judgment Night soundtrack. What'd you get?
I had that and I liked it. But no, it was... So in descending order of quality, I guess.
Eminem. You probably got an Eminem CD, right?
Eminem. Cocteau Twins, Heaven in Las Vegas was the first. REM, Out of Time. Arrested Development's primary record. I forget what it's called. Mm-hmm. And an Infectious Grooves record, which was the funk side project of Suicidal Tendencies.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, Bad Time.
Finally, the question that everybody was asking. You think Suicidal Tendencies can get funky? The question on everyone's minds. You think a band that does Institutionalized, I wonder how funky those guys are.
The record was called Sarsippius's Ark, I believe.
Okay.
That was one that I traded pretty quickly.
You think of 1,000 years from now, how many of these Eminem CDs that sold are going to be clogging up outer space by that point?
I mean, just roll down the amoeba and look in the used bin. That'll answer that question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had just one for the topic, if I could.
Let's hear it.
All right. Featuring Robert Pollard!
That's not the topic. Hang up on this boob. Hang up on this boob. How dare you do an old topic? You're no friend of Sammy Skolmoski. No friend of Sammy Skolmoski would do that. That just makes me sick. Dum 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 da da. Dum 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 da da. Ay 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 ay. Wow, 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 wow. Dum 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 da da, dum 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 da da, bye, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, 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 right? Motown Philly back again. Right? Doing a little East Coast swing. I gotta get a vocal group together. Dum 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 da da. Boom, 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 bada. That'll be me. All right, what are we doing here? Another call. How many calls we got, Pat?
We got full phones.
Full phones. Well, that's not Pat. That's Martine. Pat. Thank you, Martine. Okay. I like it. Pat's
checked out.
Pat checked out. All right, we're going to do the four calls, then we're going to wrap it up. Because next call, please. Motown Philly back again.
Hi there.
Hello, hi. Best show. Welcome.
Hi, this is Colette from Athens.
Colette from Athens. Now, I'm familiar with my friend, and I say yes, friend, and I mean that, Colette from Athens, who we have talked to many different configurations and circumstances, whether it be here on the Best Show or whether it be on Double Threat. You have been a participant in Double Threat, Colette. I don't know if you're aware of that. but you have. Yeah. And then what Colette did was you wrote a very nice piece about the best book in the world called It Never Ends. And you wrote a very nice piece about it. I'm very flattered by the job you did. So I'm truly touched. Thank you.
Well, you gave me an hour of your time, so thank you.
I did?
You did, yeah. That wasn't me. It wasn't you.
No.
Pace's not going to pay me now.
Yeah. And you could find that where over at Paste?
You can find it at Paste Magazine, yeah.
Okay. Who's woofing back there?
That's my dog. He came back from the kennel with a cough.
Oh, no.
So he's hacking it up, but hopefully it's not too loud on your end.
Now, Colette, one thing I would advise is I saw a documentary about a guy who had a cough and needed medicine and ended up getting a dog named Smuckers. And this dog had a cough also, and this guy started taking the dog's medicine.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Wait, no, that was an episode of Seinfeld. That was not a...
You had me. I wouldn't have known. I would have had no idea.
To what do I owe the pleasure of this call tonight, Colette?
Oh, I am calling because I have, I guess, kind of a variation on the topic where, like, you know, I'm an author. I have books. I have titles for books that are not written yet. But I don't like the ones that I have currently and was hoping you could maybe give me a title.
Okay.
Just some examples of what I have right now. Like, one of the titles is You'd Be Hot If You Didn't Hate Yourself, which I think is pretty good, but good it's not the most marketable. Okay. I have one called Constant Manicure, which I guess would be about self-care rituals. Okay. And then the third one that I have is There Are More Things to Life Than Hulk Hogan. And that's,
I like
that's
that
what
one.
I have. Yeah, yeah.
And what is that about? Somebody's sitting a Hulk Hogan super fan down and getting them to realize that there's more to life than Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, just rehabilitating them.
Yeah.
Hey, brother. There's not more to life than me. Come out to my Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania. No bathrooms. You got no bathrooms, brother. All you can eat pasta. $50 to use the bathroom.
No, I think that Hulk Hogan, there's more to life than Hulk Hogan. Could Colette, you could do anything with that title and that would be a home run.
Okay. All right. I'll keep that one in the pile then.
There's more to, cause it's so intriguing. Cause you're like, wait, who didn't know that? Is what that title. That's the one thing I think when I hear that title. It's like, yeah, no, we're all fully aware there's more to life than Hulk Hogan. It's like, wait, is there anyone out there that truly thinks there's not more to life than Hulk Hogan?
I don't know. I've been looking for that answer for a long time, Tom.
What wrestler would you most like to meet, Colette? Living or dead?
Living or dead, probably Andre the Giant. Dusty Rhodes, okay. Too. Both of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Dusty Rhodes or Andre the Giant?
Yeah.
Sure. Wrestler you'd least like to meet?
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan?
Hulk Hogan, yeah.
I was going to offer you a job at Gawker.
The new Gawker. Oh, I might have to rescind that.
Yeah. You want to write a column for me? Bring it back, Gawker Stalker, brother. When you do that, you tell us when you see Jake Gyllenhaal eating at a restaurant.
Gawker Stalker. Can you believe that that was a real thing? Gawker Stalker, where they're just like,
yeah. I just saw Robert Pattinson eating at this place. And I'm saying where he currently is. That's like one of the most despicable things imaginable.
but somehow not in the top 10 for Gawker.
No, Gawker topped that regularly.
Constantly. Yeah, regularly.
It does. Unsettling.
Great website. RIP.
Yes. Anything else tonight, Colette?
No, that's it. I just wanted to call and say hey and give you some ideas. Oh, you didn't give me an idea for a title, but I guess the Hulk Hogan one is good. So
I think Hulk Hogan one trumps everything tonight.
All right, good, good.
right, and seriously, thanks so much for that awesome piece you wrote. I'm very flattered.
Thank you for doing it, and thank you for writing your book, sincerely. It means a lot to me in a lot of different ways, and you know, I hope that it continues to be successful.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
8 out of 10? Would you give it 8 out of 10?
Me? No, I know how this game goes, cause when you asked me how long it took to write Grown Ups 3, I said 6 hours, and you said goodbye.
Yeah. No, I'll say that. And I'm gonna say this. 8 out of 10 is, some people, they're right when they say Dudio giving the thing 16 out of 10 was out of bounds.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Like, here's the thing. I think that Mike was wrong to rate it 4 out of 5 on Goodreads, cause Goodreads is like, you know, that's a marketing tool, essentially. Like, yeah. No one actually cares what you rate your book.
Food out of my mouth.
But
taking food out of my mouth.
The algorithm. Yeah, exactly. So, like, if Mike went on Amazon and gave you a 4 out of 5, then that would knock your book down in the algorithm. Like, he's got to give you a 5. That's how it works. I've been doing this for years. I know. So
what you're saying is it's no different than if Mike took a bat and hit me over the head with it, what he did.
Right. Very, very lightly, but still.
Sure.
You know, I'm sure that his review was measured and nice and good and wasn't too intense about the coin pusher thing, but yeah, like, he should have given you a 5 out of 5. You should go and edit that, like, right now. Like,
I'm gonna say this, Colette. I'm gonna say this. God help us all if this guy gets a book out there. He better get ready for my reviews. Oh no, it's a 3 out of 10. No, that's a compliment.
It's no Flo Bear.
Anna, 3 out of 10. I gave you 3 out of 10 over Goodreads.
I'm a harsh critic of books. I gave Meatloaf 3 out of 5. You're doing good.
Yeah. Oh no. Look, God love everyone.
I would give your book a legitimate 10 out of 10, like, for thanks. Reasons that I would rather keep private between the two of us.
Of course. But, thank you.
I think that it's a fantastic book, and you know, mazel tov, Tom.
Thank you, Claude. You have a grand evening.
You too. Good night.
Hey, Tom. How much would you pay, Tom, for, like, phony reviews on Amazon?
Oh, I'm not going to pay a nickel. I'm not going to pay anything.
Tom.
No, I mean, people do that all the time. That's a thing. No,
and I'm not one of them.
I
don't care.
I'll make them really, you know, interesting.
I don't want phony. Why would I want phony reviews? I don't care.
Because Colette just said it's a marketing thing that they do on Amazon. Every author has phony people writing reviews.
Tom, I could be your guy. Doing right now. I know what you're doing right now.
I could be your guy.
It's a mob shakedown right now. This is I'm running a candy store, and he just walked in and said, boy, it'd be a real shame if something happened to your candy store.
I don't mean to interrupt, but
he's offering protection now to my candy store.
Something freaky happened in the studio that I cannot not
What's
bring
that?
Up.
What's that?
You know, Martine's here, God bless him, learning the ropes, training up, and this has never happened before. This is totally a shock. It's we're still shaken by it.
Yeah.
Tom, what was the name of your vape triloquism dummy?
Billy.
Okay, so Billy's been perched on one of the sturdier... Yeah. Billy's been perched on one of the sturdier, what would I call it? Soundproofing.
Like
one of those corner ones that you could actually, like, perch something on. Okay.
Okay.
It has not moved since the beginning of quarantine. I've been in here alone many times. I've slept here if I've needed to, and that thing has stayed put.
It's
I left
next to Dusty Rhodes.
Yes, thank you, Martine. There is a Dusty Rhodes packaged action figurine in its packaging. And a picture of Mike painted by Mary Houlihan next to a can of Coors.
Yes.
And Johnny Depp, is that? I don't ever remember.
Yes.
Okay.
Johnny Depp from,
Anyway, so, I left Martine in here for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I went into the other room.
Don't tell me.
And what did you hear, Martine?
I just heard a slam.
You heard a slam?
Yeah, it was a crash.
You heard a crash. I came running in to make sure that, you know, nothing hit the board or whatever happened.
Yeah.
What we are seeing now is your dummy on the ground with its shoes off. And
Billy's gone full Annabelle. This is a real problem.
Billy's gone full Annabelle. Yeah.
Billy's gone full Annabelle. You guys are...
we're toast.
You're toast. Billy's going to kill both of you. You need to go get the husband and wife team.
Yeah.
They'll get Billy and the Annabelle.
So basically, Best Show just entered the controversy tonight.
Yeah, the Best Show just entered the controversy tonight.
And now I'm leaving Martine here alone next week.
Billy's going to get you.
Good God.
No, Bill, I'm going to say this is a message to Billy, my ventriloquist dummy. Billy, stand down. Stand down, Billy. Billy, this is my message to you. Stand by, stand down and stand by.
No.
Billy, stand down and stand by.
No.
You're beautiful, Billy. No. You're beautiful. Billy, you're beautiful. You're beautiful, and I know you're so loving and it's beautiful. It's a love fest over there, Billy.
This is insane.
Stand down and stand by.
That thing, there was no reason for that thing to fall at all.
Well,
there was none. I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
Of all the things to fall. Yeah.
Thank
God. And yeah, Tom, if you ever want me to mail that to LA, I'll do it immediately. I'll break into a FedEx.
Oh, they won't allow that. They won't allow that. You can't ship Billy. He'll pull a gift, Velvet Underground style.
I'm gonna have to post this on Twitter.
He'll pull a Waldo Jeffers. Billy will come climbing out of that box at the post office.
Tom, I want you to see that. I'm gonna post this on Twitter.
Please do.
Oh my God.
Do these guys have sideburns? Does Billy have sideburns?
He has something going on, yeah. It's like a starter sideburn.
The only thing that scares me is somebody with 0% sideburns.
Billy's gonna get both of you. I can say this, when Billy comes after you, you don't have to be faster than Billy. You just got to be faster than Pat or Martine.
Oh, my God. This is
you got to just hope. Because Billy's only going to get one of you. That's fair to say. Two against one, you guys could beat Billy, the ventriloquist dummy. But he's just one of you. Not good.
Everybody can see this on at Best Show for Life on Twitter.
Okay, I gotta see this. Okay.
And the shoes coming off is an added level of.
Well, he's getting comfortable. Billy's getting comfortable.
Oh my God.
Those are his non-murdering shoes, and he takes them off. When he leaves a non-murdering mentality, yeah.
Goodness gracious! Holy. I didn't expect tonight to go this way.
All right. Give me another call while we wait for this to show up. Please. Oh my God! Look at Billy.
Oh, nice.
That's bad. That's bad news.
That's
you
bad
guys
news.
Are in trouble.
Yeah.
You guys are in trouble.
Mike, are you happy you didn't come for that pizza?
He'd still come. He would take his chance. He'd take his chance for some free pizza. With a
I'm gonna
murderous
give Billy an 8 out of 10 for his unnatural leg positioning.
8 out of 10.
Eight out of 10.
So still not higher than Tom's 8 out of 10. Book.
Yeah, because you didn't see Flaubert. Flaubert
he didn't crack
did
his
that
face.
Too.
Is that face crackable?
No, I think it's plastic. Martine's not going to touch it, but
yeah, okay. None of my business.
Next call. Let's get the next call.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
Good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Mike from East Dundee, Illinois.
From East where now?
East Dundee.
Where now? East Dundee, you said Illinois? Where in Illinois is East Dundee? Is it east
about,
of Dundee?
It's about 40 miles northwest of Chicago. I mean, you had your Rockford caller earlier tonight, so we're kind of almost between Chicago and Rockford.
Okay. equidistant.
It's kind of a cool little town.
Sure. What do you got for me tonight, my friend?
Well, I wanted to say that a couple of things. I pre-ordered the audio version of the book, and it came in just right at the time I was taking my first post-pandemic road trip. I dropped my wife and her friend off in Ohio to visit her family. I'm driving back with two of our dogs, and I queued it up, and I couldn't have asked for a more engrossing and compelling traveling companion on the way home. It's a great book. It was a great listen in audio format, and I just wanted to thank you for that. It also reminded me, my son, when he was growing up, we would listen to the best show, and when it was on WFMU, I would burn some of the shows on CD, and we would listen to them on road trips. And a few years later, when he had grown up and moved out of the house, when the Shirley and Worcester box set came out, he got that for me for Father's Day, which was really cool. So anyway, I just wanted to say thanks, just all the great radio content over the years and this great book that kept me company on the way back from my road trip on Sunday.
Oh, that's very kind. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you.
Very much so. And all the best to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Do you have anything for the topic tonight or anything?
I did. I've actually played around with the idea of a book title for a poetry book, but I think it could be, essays or life story or anything else. Digging for Small Potatoes. So,
you'd call your book Digging for Small Potatoes?
That's right.
All right. I like that. What's a small potato you've dug for? It's a metaphorical small potato, I'm assuming.
Well, like, starting out and wanting to have a career in writing and then ending up at it's not a bad thing. Small potatoes are still, good potatoes, but ending up at a small town newspaper, writing a column, aspiring to one thing, but getting the other. So those small potatoes can be really good. Sometimes, but sometimes you think to yourself, am I really digging this hard for this handful of small potatoes? But mm-hmm. I try to look at it in a positive way.
Good. Well, it's one little thing at a time, right?
Absolutely.
One little thing at a time. You keep digging for those small potatoes, my friend. You keep digging for those small potatoes.
I also wanted to say, I don't know from Flaubert, but I did give your book a 5-star on Goodreads for what it's worth.
Thank you. I appreciate it. At least someone did the right thing.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Of course. Thank you so much. You have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Next call, please. The final call. Best show. Hi. Hello. Welcome to the best show. Hello. Is that it? No more calls?
Pat. Hello?
No more calls. Are we done?
No, we have calls. Sorry for the slight delay right there. We're okay. We're alive.
Good. Thank
but
God.
Jason just FaceTimed us because he couldn't believe what happened. But Martine actually had more details that I wasn't aware of because I was in the other room. But okay. Martine,
did I hallucinate you asking the caller what wrestler, dead or alive, would they like to meet?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
And
no, that was.
Was the answer Dusty Rhodes?
One of the answers that Colette said yes. She said Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes was about 5 or 6 inches away from Billy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I didn't want to say that because I figured you two would run out like Abbott and Costello in a
Frankenstein Abbott and Costello movie.
Meet Frankenstein. You guys be running.
Yeah.
Running through town.
It was right after that was said.
That he fell?
Yeah.
Well, that's how it works sometimes. Is someone from the other side tries to break through, and they can sometimes channel their spirit through an action figure or a doll of themselves. And I'm assuming the spirit of Dusty Rhodes came out so strong that it inhabited that action figure and then also awoke Billy. So.
Yeah. It's a weird moment for sure. Yeah,
just be safe.
All right. We're not going to touch Billy, I don't think. But
I wouldn't touch Billy.
Yeah. We're going to leave Billy there. And or Dusty. We do have some calls. How many left, Martin?
We got two.
Two.
Two more calls, and then we're – let's do it.
All right.
Best show, hi. Hello, best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, to whom am I speaking?
This is Kevin calling from Long Island.
Kevin from Long Island. What's up, Kevin?
How's it going, Tom? I just wanted to call. I had one for the topic, but I also wanted to call and say how much I loved your book. I pre-ordered it. I read it as fast as I could, but also didn't want to read it too fast. It meant a lot to me, and it was a really hilarious and uplifting book, and I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, as soon as I was done reading it, I like blasted an email out to the best show address just to wax poetic. But it was basically outlining that it was the best, and it shouldn't be a surprise that you wrote the best memoir as you host the best show.
Well, I appreciate that. I worked very hard on it, and I'm glad people are appreciating it. It means a lot.
Absolutely. I had one for the topic as well.
What do you got?
So my autobiography would be called How Can I Get Out of This? Adventures in Anxiety, Cowardice, and Humbling Sleepovers.
Oh my God, that is a great title. That's a great title. You want to explain it a little bit?
Yeah. So the sleepover element was in, I think it was the fourth grade. I was at I was invited to a sleepover with a chum, and there's a bunch of guys there that
This ain't no e-cigs for legs call, is it?
No, I wish I had that in me, but I don't, Tom.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Sometimes when a call is too good to be true,
yeah,
it makes me suspicious, but that's a compliment to you.
Yeah, one of the kids I went was at the sleepover with could have been this guy, but that's not information I know concretely. But yeah,
so you hated sleepovers as a kid.
Yeah, we were playing hide and seek, and it was a group of kids that I was sort of friendly with, but I wasn't like super best friends with. So I was kind of trying to make my mark, and I thought this hide and seek game would be my moment. So it was an upstairs situation. So I secured a spot in the back of my friend's closet, sort of behind a hamper. And then some time came, and then I heard the game wrapping up and the friend saying, "Oh, cool, I got everybody. Let's go downstairs, and I think my mom has the cake ready." So here I am just, like, perched in this closet. I don't hear anyone upstairs anymore. No. They're all singing happy birthday. And so I have to figure out how can I get out of this and go downstairs without, making a show of it.
Mm-hmm. I don't like this story at all.
Yeah, reading your book, so many things hit a little close to home, but it eventually was, I stayed in the closet. I stood my ground. And eventually it was, I sauntered out sort of, pathetically as, people were coming back upstairs, and I couldn't really, there was no,
you know, I wasn't going to stay in the closet all night.
Well, but, you know, my friend,
I was met with a couple, you know. Why didn't you say anything?
Oh, no, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
So they just completely forgot about you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was, there's no real bouncing back from that.
Nah, that's a rough one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know. I think then we watched The Nutty Professor, and then we went to bed, you know.
You know what I would have done to kind of deal with it?
What's that?
I would have come down, and I would have went, Motown Philly back again. Where the little leaves come swinging. Boys to men going off. Is it boys to men going off? Not too hard and not too soft. Then I would have flipped the table with the cake on it and went, boys to men, ABC, BBD, East Coast family. I'm out!
Yeah, it's probably the only way to pull that off, that situation off.
And then you run out of the house, and then they're just like, what happened? And then suddenly, through the window, you smash through it again, and you go, dum-dum-dum-da-da, dum-dum-dum-da-da, ay-ay-ay-ay. And they're just like, that's the weirdest kid I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, how did we forget that guy?
Yeah, and then suddenly you're like, then you just go, ay-ay-ay-ay. Oh, wow. Then you leave again.
Yeah, and then smash another window, and then I go
and you're like, I get my kicks at the playground, you know? And you're just doing everyone from that family, from the Belbiv DeVoe family.
Yeah, they're truly like, all right, now we really...
father's like, he's driving my car. Then he hears like a car... and you just crash the car right into the side of their house.
Yeah, they're just like Billy Joel's here.
Yeah, they're like Billy Joel. And then it's like, bum, 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 bum. What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide? And they'd be like, this kid is a demon. Can't run.
The kid's a gremlin.
Yeah. Yeah, they think you're a gremlin. They straight up think you're a gremlin. All right, my friend.
Tom, thank you so much. You're the best. Thanks.
Well, thanks. Take care. Okay. One more call? What do we got? No more?
We got one more call.
One more. Here we go. Best show, hi.
Ooh. I think we lost him.
Okay. Well, it happens. Okay, that's it?
We lost that one call, but I could open it up to one last call.
No, we're done. We're done. Pat, I'm amazed my voice is still holding up. Well, everybody, thanks for listening tonight. What a fun show, and we will be back next week. And thanks for all the support with the book. It's been truly humbling, all kidding aside. I'm completely blown away by all the support and all the kind words. And the fun thing is, there's still copies of the book. They didn't stop making it. You get more. Go get it. I'm proud of it. You'll love it. And we will be back next week. And thanks to everybody for listening. And I'm going to say goodnight. Bye.